quick question. How many calls, texts, or messages does your business miss every week? Nights, weekends, busy days. That's lost money. Create Assistance helps businesses fix that problem using AI employees that answer calls, respond to texts, book appointments, and follow up with leads 24/7 automatically. No extra staff, no complicated software. Everything runs inside one simple command center that replaces scattered tools, missed follow-ups, and manual busy work. Whether you're a service business, office, or multi-location company, Create Assistance keeps your business responsive, organized, and running even when you're off the clock. Stop letting leads slip through the cracks. Visit createassistance.ai to book a free call. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman. Mike McDowd is off today. He's on assignment, as we say. At each commercial break, we are going to ask a trivia question. We got three trivia questions here. Let's see. One's extremely hard. One you may know. And we'll see. I mean, it's almost like multiple choice.
We'll see if I care.
You see if you care. Okay. When we get back, we're going to talk about Travis Kelce signing a new deal and the Seahawks giving Jackson Smith and Jigba a huge deal. Talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. And I want to ask you about using AI for betting on games and see how that is going to change things. And what topics are you going to want to cover, my friend, when we get back?
Death of a legendary wrestler.
Another one. And we're not talking about Chuck Norris because he was not a wrestler.
No, but, although he was definitely a big figure in the fighting world. So
yeah.
Chuck Norris as well.
Very cool. And okay, you know what? I'm just for fun, I'm going to give you the silly joke of the week. So I know how it's going to end for me. One of my kids will unplug my life support just to charge their cell phone. Can you relate to that? No, my kids love me.
But I would have considered that with my own father. Yes.
even my little granddaughter knows Papa, and she hasn't seen me for a while, but she's not even 2 years old, but she remembers Papa. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Russell Jackman. All right, so first of all, Travis Kelce signs a three-year $54.7 million deal. Wasn't he talking about retiring?
He's never going to make it 3 years. The Chiefs are going to, like, year two and three. Year two, he'll probably be really a fraction of what he was. In year three, they're going to have to buy him out.
How old is he now?
He's like one of the oldest players in the game. I think he's like 39, 40 or something, 38.
Yeah. It's one thing when you're a quarterback and you have a little bit of protection like Brady, but when you're...
He'd already been slowing down. He was not what he was last year. I mean, you could clearly see. And he's going to have to get used to another quarterback there, you know, because they won't have Mahomes for the first X number of games. Yeah, I think it's more so they can keep the Swift keep going.
I was going to say, I wonder if maybe she's going to pony up some of the money so that they can keep him.
Yeah, or no, it's the other way around. I think that Chiefs fans, the Chiefs make a ton of money when Taylor Swift hints that she'll be in the audience. And so it pays off. They probably can justify Travis Kelce's salary,
but all she does is stay in the booth.
What?
Right? All she does is stay in the booth.
But people just want to say they saw her. She's such
a brother. I saw her on TV once.
Well, she's got like that status of where the Beatles were. That you can, if you can say that you were in a stadium where she was live, even though she didn't say anything, you didn't actually see her. She was just, her physical presence was there. It still is something that you can brag to your great-grandchildren about. That, by the way, will not care one iota that you were anywhere near Taylor Swift, because they will say, who the hell was Taylor Swift?
Well, I would say, you know what, I'll do that now and just say I was in the same United States as she was.
I mean, when I tell my kids half the bands that I've seen, they don't have any idea who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my daughter sort of understands, like, some of the, like, Haight Ashbury, Summer of Love musicians. She kind of gets them. But, like, you know, if I said that, you know, I saw Quicksilver Messenger Service, she would just put up her hands and say, I have no idea who that is.
I mean, they're kind of famous. But, I mean, I saw the Doobie Brothers, Fleetwood Mac, Gary Wright.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that was kind of a Those guys were a big deal back in the 70s. Summer of Love, because I actually, one of my questions has to do with Woodstock.
Really? Okay.
And I'll be really surprised if you get this one.
Really? Well, depends. I mean, I've seen the documentary, so that might help.
Yeah, I saw one too. And what was it, like, four people died and there were three babies or something weird?
There was like almost no police presence there, you know, except on the very outskirts of it. There were no, you know, now when you go see a concert there, they have a health tent, you know, and they have paramedics that are there, and they have, you know, everyone has cell phones. They can call for help if somebody's got a problem. Back then, I mean, I don't even know where the nearest payphone probably was. It was probably a good, like, 2-mile walk into town or whatever, you know. And a lot of people, because of the rain, got stuck tremendously, you know, in the mud and the gunk, because the roads weren't, I mean, they were, you know, in a field out in the middle of nowhere. So there were no actual roads. It was all dirt paths to get into Woodstock.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep thinking the Omar path, but that was a different concert. Yeah.
I mean, I know people are really into Burning Man and stuff like that. And I'm just, maybe I'm sounding really old, but even when I was a young person, I didn't want to go to Burning Man.
I wasn't that young when it started, but just the idea of once you get up there, then you got to drive 50 miles on terrible roads and there's nothing out there. And it's like, I mean, it's one thing to drive like 2 miles on no man's land, but 50 miles, it's just like that. That's just ridiculous.
You have to bring everything in with you, every drop of water you drink, every morsel of food that you eat, you know, and you got to have your own first aid kit. You have to have, you know, no money's exchanged. So if you want to get anything, you have to barter stuff. So you have to bring stuff you can barter, or maybe you can make or do something to. Yeah, it's not. Although I have a friend of mine who is one of the originators of a thing called the Wild Wasteland Weekend down in San Diego. Yeah. And they do like the Burning Man thing, but they do it all like it was the apocalypse. Oh. So everybody is all dressed up like Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
And people that are all, you know, post-apocalyptic. And people bring all these fake guns and it's big.
I know, but that could still be a little dangerous. But you know, that reminds me. Do you remember the year that the Burning Man, someone had accidentally started it on fire like a day or two before it was supposed to?
Oh yeah, I know all about that because my cousin used to do the lighting for Burning Man. He used to work at ILM, and the crew that he worked with would all go up to Burning Man and set the lights up that shine on Burning Man. Yeah, he was very disturbed with the fact that it burned well before its time, because there's a whole light show built into it before they set it on fire. And so like that totally undercut all the work that they had come up there to go do. There was nothing to put lights on because it was all burned out. My cousin missed out on, I mean, he's done it for like 20 years, so that was one time that he missed out on it.
I'm starting to think, how many hours does it take to get there from the Bay Area?
Oh, it's like about 12.
12, yeah.
And that's if everything goes right. Yeah. If something goes wrong, you can be in traffic, stuck on that 50-mile road into, you know, the dirt area for 20 hours. I mean, there's nothing that can
keep you. If that's all like open dirt, can't you just kind of figure out a way to go around people?
No, because it's all environmentally protected.
Okay.
So you do that and the rangers come find you. And in fact, you know, on a completely aside, I know we're supposed to be talking about sports, but two Petaluma guys just got in trouble for pulling down a woolly mammoth tusk and breaking it at a museum in I think it was in North Dakota.
Oh,
they, And they're from Petaluma, which is right where we did the show.
You know what? Why do people vandalize like that? Just leave a, you know, leave a museum.
And it was stupid. Like the guy like wanted to go up and grab the and hang him. Swing from it. Wanted to swing from it. And of course, it broke off and shattered. Something that was, you know, millions of years old, and they're going to hold him on the hook for $200,000 worth of damage.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know how they figure out the, you know, the value of that.
Well,
millions of years, trillions of years. Come on, Russ, you got to get with the times. It's, you know, we're trillion. In fact, quadrillions of years now. We all get older. It's all quadrillions of years now. Okay. You ready for our first trivia question here? All right, here we go. In fact, this is the one that has to do with Woodstock. Who was the youngest performer at Woodstock in 1969. Now, you're not going to probably get it just from that, so I'll give you a hint, and I don't know how much of a hint this is, but I'll give it to you anyway. He had, and I think it was 1975, a one-hit wonder. So he was with a band at Woodstock. He wasn't by himself, but then broke off on his own, and he had a one-hit wonder. And it was kind of a, I like the song, actually. I remember it very well in 1975. It had a good tune to it. It was kind of a sort of an interesting, like, why would you have a song about this? But okay. So that's our trivia question. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. Mike McDowell will probably be with us next week. He's off on assignment now. All right, first trivia question. This has to do with Woodstock. Who was the youngest performer at Woodstock in 1969? I don't have his age, but I don't know. Maybe he was like 18 or something. Who knows? And the hint is he had a one-hit wonder in 1975.
Can you tell me the one-hit wonder?
You might get it from that. Shannon. Shannon has gone away. It's drifting out.
Okay. No, I was thinking Guthrie. You know.
Oh, I know Guthrie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. He was, I don't think he was that young then. No, Henry Gross of Sha Na Na. I didn't know that Sha Na Na was at Woodstock. I love
him. Oh, I did know they were at Woodstock. In fact, I think they went on before Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, did they? I loved it. Man, Sha Na Na, yeah. Remember they even had, didn't they have their own show?
Yes. And it was all 50s stuff, and they were completely out of place.
Yeah, but I mean, I like their you know, doo-wop type music. Okay, let's get back to sports. So the Seahawks are.
Wait, I'm gonna interrupt you because I'm gonna say you're jumping over one thing, which is the fact that in 2 days it is opening day for Major League Baseball.
Baseball, yes, and
we should talk a little bit about.
Of course. Now, which team? Here's a little trivia question for you. They may have changed it, but for many, many, many years, which team traditionally had always been the first team to play?
Oh, really?
And there's a reason for it.
Yankees.
What?
The Yankees? Nope.
The Cincinnati Reds, because they were the original Cincinnati Redlegs, the Red Stockings, and they had, from 1869, they were considered the first professional baseball team. So that's why traditionally they would say they'd have to be the first one to play. But I think they finally, you know, they got rid of that tradition.
Yeah, now it's just anybody's.
So we will talk about baseball in a minute. But the Seahawks give Jackson Smith and Njigba a 4-year, $168.6 million extension. That's like over $42 million a year.
That's why Kenneth Walker isn't a Seahawk any longer. And why they lost a lot of other players.
But I'm looking at this and who's worth that much? Listen, no offense to him. He's a great player. He's a really nice guy. Who's worth $160 million?
If you want to keep your players after you win a Super Bowl, the price of it goes up exponentially. And there's a reason why, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs didn't win 3 in a row. And now they're coming down to earth. And there's a reason why you might not see a repeat NFL champion for a while, because, you know, every player looks at winning a Super Bowl as now is the time to cash in.
Yeah.
This is my payday. Yeah. You know, I don't owe anything to the team. The team owes it to me because I got him the Super Bowl.
I wonder how much he was making before. I don't know that off the top of my head.
You combine that with the hard salary cap in football, and we are going to see teams that are going to run out of money, or they're going to have two star players and everybody else working on minimum contracts. And it's kind of what's happening.
It's also so frustrating. It's like, you know, I remember the old days in baseball, you know, the guys would be with a team for a really long time. And then now you turn around and it's all sports are like that. You know, wait, we've got that guy on our team now? Wait, where's our good player? Wait, he's on that team now? I mean, it just they really walked away. In fact, if you remember, you know, we weren't old enough for that. We weren't even born. But back in the old days, in baseball, before they had numbers on the back of their jerseys, eventually they came out with numbers, and that's where they were able to, you know, sell the programs and let everybody know, you know, okay, who was batting. Because, you know, if you're up in the stands, I mean, they still had you know, 50, 60,000 people come to baseball because it was really popular in the early 1900s. And, you know, nobody knew who was up at bat, right? And the way they, I don't know if it was actually a rule, but there was a time when your number was based on your batting order. That's why Ruth was number three and Gehrig was number four. And now, eventually Mickey Mantle was seven. Who was, I can't remember five. Oh, Joe DiMaggio. But, you know, he came a little bit later. But that's how they did it. So it's like, but what, you're not allowed to switch your lineup? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, back then, well, of course, Ruth, you know, he went from, from Boston. Originally, I think he got recruited by Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, but immediately went to Boston and then, you know, the curse of the Bambino. But after that, I mean, he stayed with them for a long time. Gehrig, I think, well, Gehrig only played for like 12 years, but he was always a Yankee. But nowadays, yeah. Guys, it's like kind of crazy, you know?
Well, back then, you didn't even have free agency. So, yeah. You know, the guys were, once they signed, they could just, you know, continue to be held by a contract. You know, they'd sign a contract for 10 years and they couldn't just walk out of it. I mean, the exact opposite is a guy like Trent Williams for the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
Who refuses to honor any contract he's ever been signed to for the last 5 years. Every year he threatens to hold out, no matter how long the Niners have him signed for. They have him under another contract for another year.
But he'll
sit out, or he'll extract a bunch more money from the 49ers. And like Kelsey, I think he wants like 3 years, where the Niners, at age 38, the Niners are not going to offer him a three-year contract. They want a one-year deal.
Yeah.
And it just goes back and forth and back and forth. And then you have situations like Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk, who haven't signed with anyone because they thought that their value was going to be way over the top. And it turns out that the rest of the league doesn't value them as much as they value themselves, or as the 49ers would probably
like. Didn't Le'Veon Bell stay out a whole year from Pittsburgh? And then,
yeah, Le'Veon Bell, he ruined my fantasy football season on purpose, just to ruin my fantasy football season. I picked the jerk number one overall, figuring he's going to at least sign somewhere with some team or get traded, and he didn't do either. And then he went to the Jets, and his career was over in 1 year or 2 years. Yeah. He went from being one of the most promising running backs in NFL history to being a complete footnote and maybe a poster boy for why you don't hold out for a whole year, especially running back.
Ayuk is kind of that same way right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Well, he didn't hold out. He just had a really bad attitude. You know, and just he wouldn't go to practice. He wouldn't, you know, show up to team meetings, even though he was under contract. Yeah. So
he was originally hurt, but then
he was hurt. Time for him to come back. He refused to come back, and he refused to do what was necessary, except drive by the stadium at 100 miles per hour and post that on social media, which was also, you know, what the heck's going on there? Yeah.
So frustrates me. I mean, it definitely frustrates me when these players sign a contract and then it's like they don't have to do it. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'd like to see the owners do that and just say, you know, we paid you, but you know what? You really had a bad year, so you got to give back 90% of the money.
It's called a lockout. We're probably going to see that in baseball next year. We're probably going to see a lockout in baseball next year.
A lockout. Yeah, that's different than that.
Yeah.
You know, then basically, you know what? We decided not to pay you this week just because we decided not to. I mean, yeah, let's see how that works out, right?
Well, but the owners have painted themselves into a corner where, you know, in baseball, where, you know, like things like the Ohtani contract and some of these other contracts for newer players have gotten so outrageous that they can't really afford. They've put themselves in a spending situation that they can't maintain. And baseball, I do feel, does need some kind of salary cap, and it needs a salary floor for teams like the A's that just pocket the money and don't spend it back on the team and continue to put our crappy product on the field year after year after year. You know, or as soon as they get some decent talent, the first thing they do is sell it off to the Yankees and to the Dodgers and to Boston and so forth.
Well, that's why, as a fan, it's really kind of hard to even root for your home team because you don't recognize players anymore.
Yeah. You know? And when you're lucky enough to find a great player and maybe raise that player up and grow that player, as soon as their contract is up, they go to the big cities, you know, the LAs and to New York and Boston and maybe Chicago. They'll go there instead of staying where they're at. And, you know, you're just seeing this kind of talent depletion and this just collection by the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers could right now send their, you know, send their spring league team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was my thought, is what the Dodgers would do is, like, do a split squad thing where the first half of the season you just play all, like, your spring. You play your farm league guys and just give all your starters all the rest. After the All-Star, you just bring them all up.
You know what? I mean, because you know how these guys get when the season comes toward the end. A lot of them, they get really tired, especially in basketball. But, okay, here we go. Here's the second trivia question. What does Wi-Fi stand for?
Oh, okay.
What does Wi-Fi stand for? All right, that's our trivia question. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch dial. When we come back, I want to ask you who the favorite is for the NCAA tournament and about people using AI to bet on games. All right, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Hop in a John Deere Gator XUV for a day's work. Let's see what's on the to-do list. There goes the tree. And the fence.
Help her out!
Not a problem. Because you've got a cargo box filled with solutions. Up to 4,000 pounds of towing capacity. And you're ready to roll.
The power's out!
Here we go again. The Gator XUV. Built for every kind of workday. Learn more at johndeere.com/GatorXUV. Nothing runs like a deer.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids, located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
Got stuff you don't need? Turn it into cold hard cash with Cha-Ching Company. Whether it's your house, your car, or even gold collecting dust, we buy it for cash fast. No hassles. No long waits. Get a free cash offer in just 24 hours and walk away with money in your pocket. That's Cha-Ching Company, your trusted cash buyer for houses, cars, and gold. Visit cashnow2026.com right now and get your offer today.
The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa invites you to experience spring in Tahoe. Whether it's hiking, getting pampered in the spa, or relaxing by the lake, the Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa is the perfect destination, as it is close to many restaurants, Heavenly Village, and nature areas to explore. Every room has a spectacular Lake Tahoe view. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com to reserve your room with a view.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Russell Jackman. And our trivia question number two, what does Wi-Fi stand for?
Wireless fidelity?
No, it's a trick question. It doesn't stand for anything. It's just a brand name.
Oh, I thought like hi-fi was high fidelity.
Yeah, that's true.
So Wi-Fi to me, I thought meant wireless fidelity.
I mean, that would totally make sense, but I don't know who came up with it and what it is. I'm sorry for giving you a trick question. I shouldn't have done that.
Okay. I actually was under the impression it meant fidelity.
So I thought it meant something, but okay. Usually you have a hard
time. I'll ask you a question. What does scuba stand for? Most people don't understand that scuba.
Contained underwater breathing apparatus.
There, that's good. A lot of people don't know that it's actually an abbreviation for something. Yeah.
I learned that when I did one of our trivia questions like 10 years ago.
Radar is also an acronym.
What does that stand for?
It's an acronym, but I have to look up.
Question
it's
like the answer.
Radio activated direct. Antenna something.
All right. Well, here we'll put that on the shelf for a minute. So UConn, to me, I think they look to be the favorite for the NCAA tournament. What do you think?
Radio detection and ranging.
Okay. Now we know what radar stands for.
Thank you. I already told you it was Michigan, and you scoffed at me. And here they are in Sweet 16.
Didn't scoff. I was just asking if it was Michigan State or Michigan.
Scoff. We can go back through the tapes.
I don't scoff. I don't make fun of you either. Okay, so you're going to stay with Michigan?
Yeah.
I'm going to stay, and I'm going to go UConn.
Okay.
All right, we'll see.
When I was a little kid, I thought UConn meant like the Y-U-K-O-N. So I was always wondering why they would have a basketball team.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, in the main parts of Alaska. Well, they have the Huskies as their mascot, right?
The Huskies. Well, that's true.
Yeah. So I thought it was something up in the Canadian provinces.
Well, you know, when you say UConn, you can't tell the difference in how you say
no.
it.
No.
Okay.
No, so I really thought it was Y-U-K-O-N. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, funny. I didn't know that going back to music, I didn't know the Beatles. I didn't realize the Beatles spelt their name differently than the Beatles.
Oh, with the B-E-A-T.
Yeah.
Yes.
It didn't even dawn on me until I was in my 50s. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's not how you spell Beatle.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Okay, here's a weird trivia question for you. So I'm going to guess it's a parody of the Beatles. There was a Gilligan's Island episode where a band came, and you're talking probably 1964, 65. What was the name of that band?
Oh, man. I'm also thinking of, like, the Flintstones did that, too. They had a Beatles parody group.
They did, and it was they were from Sweden.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, Oli and Sven.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Oli and Sven. Remember that.
Oli and Sven. He is Oli. I'm Sven.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And they had the old Wilma song.
That's right. Okay, are you ready?
Wilma.
You're ready.
What
was the name of the Gilligan's Island one?
Oh, man. And I know that Thurston Howell was trying to sign them to a contract. He wanted to. I do remember their producer was there with him, and that was
not Harold Hecuba. That was Phil Silvers.
Harold Hecuba, yes.
Phil Silvers. He was. That was not. He was. That was a different episode.
Oh, that was a different episode. I can't think of it.
Okay.
What was their name?
They were called the Mosquitoes.
Oh, obviously on the insects.
Yes, another. That's why I say it was a parody on that. Okay.
Well, hopefully the Flintstone trivia thing covers me.
Yes, it does.
Having watched too much.
Okay, so that's something where some people are using AI, like for trying to figure out bets. Like specifically, they're doing it now for the NCAA tournament. And I thought, gosh, you know what? That could go into all kinds of, you know, be it football, baseball, whatever. I wonder how much AI is going to be using. Oh, I know what I was going to bring up. Remember, I said something from the 70s. So you were too young for this because I'm older than you. In the 1970s, there was a guy named Joe Granville, who was this guru on the stock market. Now, before he got famous, he had like a newsletter, and he was phenomenal. What ended up happening, though, he was so good that he got, it's sort of like Nancy Pelosi with the stocks, okay? People started like, you know, being really in tune, right? That what ended up happening was he got so famous that he couldn't do as good a job because now he was affecting the market, whereas before he was behind the scenes, right? So he ended up going downhill like crazy because people thought, you know, in fact, he thought the market was going to crash when it was on like 700. And it went, you know, in the early 1980s, it just went through the roof, right?
It's hard to beat the market being 700 when it's like 40.
I remember when the market went up 34 points and we were all like, oh my God, this is unheard of. You know, I remember that 1982. Okay. So anyway, so using this AI situation of betting, I wonder how that's going to change things. You know,
of course AI is going to be used for betting. What else would human beings? AI has been used for two major things that people should have seen coming ahead of time. One is to do deep fake of porn, you know, generate porn stuff using AI.
Okay.
And the second is gambling. I mean, those are like two of the easiest human vices.
Is it sort of like you know, like the movie Moneyball, where they like the AI kind of figures out all the statistics?
Yeah, yeah.
What ends up happening though is if everybody's going to bet a certain way, change that so that, you know, sure, you may have, you know, the odds of you know, the Yankees beating the A's or, you know, 10-1. Let's say
you say odds makers. I say organized crime.
Okay, well, I'll let you say that, not me. But be that as it may, I'm just wondering how.
I still haven't gotten to the bottom of that whole NBA betting scandal thing. And that was at the beginning of the season, and they have completely buried it. The NBA is about to play the entire season through, and no conclusion has been brought as that investigation goes.
I forgot about that. They did a good job.
That's what the NBA did its job by distracting you and by saying there's other stuff to pay attention to. Look over here, you know, here's our dunk contest. Look over there, there's the Emirates Cup. Look over here, we've got, you know, Cooper Flagg, Wembanyama, and LeBron James, and the drama with the Warriors and all this stuff. Don't pay attention to what's behind the curtain. And that's... If I've had one message that's consistent throughout, how long have I done this show now? Like 7 years, six, 7 years? Oh, yeah. I have one message that I've never deviated from, and that is don't bet on sports. Just don't.
You never deviated from that, and I agree with you, and I'm the same way too.
People will think AI gives them the edge, and it won't. There'll be ways that AI will fail. And that AI, that somebody will undercut what AI is doing. And a player, now, you know, that's one of the things is that now that you can bet on player statistics, individual player statistics, you know, whether a guy is going to get 5 rebounds in a game, whether a guy is going to get 4 assists in a game, will this guy shoot 50%? Will he shoot?
Well, then you get back into the improprieties, let's call it, of betting. Right.
Well, yeah, and individual players now can control so much of what is bet on them. Yeah. that I would never feel confident, because all you have to do is hit a guy on a bad day. Yeah. You know, maybe, you know, he and his girlfriend have been arguing all night long.
Or a guy tanks. He's got a side bet somewhere, and AI can't fit. There's no way AI is going to be able to figure that out.
No. Or worst of all, and we're, you know, I think this, we're going to start seeing a trend here, is people are going to start betting on themselves through proxies. Betting against themselves.
What's going to happen when you have someone hack into AI?
Yeah, or you have people starting to bet by proxy against themselves.
Well, that's
the greatest danger of all.
It's one thing if you, and again, I'm not saying I don't condone one or the other, but it's one thing if you bet on yourself to do well. Of course, the thing is, if you bet, yeah, I'm going to score 35 points today, you're going to kind of hog the ball, right? And so that obviously that's not going to work. But let's say if you're you're in baseball, maybe you can say, I'm going to go 3 for 4 today. I mean, that is still not
that's hard to do. That's hard to do.
I mean, but if you're going to go, gee, I'm going to strike out 4 times. Yeah, you can. That's why you can control the bad. You can't control the
easy
good.
To accomplish. Very easy. That's why, as I said, I think that that when the true story comes out on Pete Rose, it'll be that he bet on himself to lose, that he bet against his own team to lose, so that he would make money by making managerial shortcuts and not playing his best players.
So he claimed he never bet on his own team to lose, right?
He was a habitual liar that you couldn't trust. If he said that it was going to, the sun was coming up the next day, you were getting up at 5 a.m. just to make sure.
Yeah, I can definitely, you know, I don't know him personally. I know he's passed on now, but I think, yeah, I could definitely see him trying to make himself in a little bit of a better light by saying, okay, I finally do admit that I gambled on my team, but I only gambled on them to win, you know, and it's just like.
Gambling is such a bad disease. Gambling is such a bad disease that when you get really sucked into it, you just like someone that is addicted to something, you know, you'll do anything to win, including lose.
And then what about these guys who end up, you know, like suing, you know, the casinos, right?
They never win, though.
Me from doing it. And it's like, geez, not sure.
There was a guy in Germany. There's a guy in Germany who bought some Mexican food that had a bunch of salsa on it. And then he got a stomach upset because it was too spicy, and he sued the restaurant for not warning him enough that salsa was going to be spicy for him.
Wow.
Even though he didn't just like try a little bit and then decide it was too spicy for him, he piled the salsa on, you know, like a mountain of it on his food. Then ate it and got, you know, ill.
Yeah.
And the judge just said, get out of here.
Oh, good. I'm glad the judge did say get out of there. Okay, ready for this? Here's our third trivia question. Which planet, see, you only have so many planets to choose from, right, has confirmed water ice, it says water ice, I don't know why it says water ice, at its south pole, according to NASA missions? Which planet has confirmed water ice?
I thought you said which plant.
And I'll tell you, it's not Earth. Okay? So you can knock that one off. And you can knock Pluto off because they decided that's not a planet anymore, even though it is. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back with some closing comments.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work, real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. 800-219-2494. That's 800-219-2494.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. Third trivia question: which planet has confirmed water, ice, at its south pole, according to NASA missions?
Neptune?
No, Mars.
Mars.
How'd you get that one? Okay,
it's a rumor that there are aliens out there who eat planets, but they found out that they actually prefer asteroids. And why is that?
So aliens don't eat planets, but they prefer asteroids. Why?
Because asteroids are a little meatier.
Oh, that's actually pretty cute. I like that. I like that
one. I've been waiting all week to throw that joke.
Waiting all week? So. Did your kids give you that one?
No. I just collected it from my various musings on the internet. So.
Okay. Yeah, boy, that's a dad joke for you. I'm very proud of you for coming with a good one.
Thank you. Okay. I'll be here all week.
All right, you ready? Okay, so here's our thoughts for the day. An optimist is someone who figures that taking a step backward after taking a step forward is not a disaster. It's more like the cha-cha-cha. That's pretty cute, yeah. Okay? And Elvis Presley said this, if you let your head get too big, it'll break your neck. I like that too.
Well, he let his colon get too big and it broke his insides.
Wait, what got too big?
He let his colon get too
big. He'd eat like 2 minutes before he'd go out on stage. But you know what though? He never really saw, he always seemed, at least in the beginning, to have a humble spirit. You know, he started off as a gospel singer and then, you know, it always seemed to kind of never got too big for himself. I mean, well, physically he did.
Colonel Tom Parker helps push him over the edge.
Wait, who did?
Colonel Tom Parker, his promoter.
Oh yeah, I did see. Yeah. Boy, that was a tough one. All right. Oh, yeah. Next week, the Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. I'm Al Martin. I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.